with you. You know, there comes a time when we feel that we've reached, there's a stop sign. And we say that, you know, the time for me is finished or the time has passed. The Lord's timing is always on point. And one of the things you are going to need to do is to engage with what God is doing in your life. And to no longer begin to hide and make excuses and say, oh, I've got so much going on. I've done things. And I think that there comes a time where you have to actually allow the past to be your past. You've got to allow your past to be your past. And actually draw a line in the sand and say, no more. No more. And Mr. Aaron, you have to recognize that there is a legacy that is on the inside of you. The things that God has placed in your life is, you know, the things that you do, but there is a legacy for your children and for your sons. There is a legacy that is passed down that God is going to, you're going to see God's blessing through your children. Yeah. That God is going to pour out these things in your life that you think, well, this is where I'm at, but God is just going to be very faithful to you. This is why you find that in the book of Isaiah chapter 46, it says that who can set the captive of the warrior free, or who can retrieve the plunder of the tyrant? But the Lord says that the captive of the tyrant will be set free and the plunder will be retrieved. And the Lord then says, I will save your children. And moreover, he begins to say that I will contend with those that contend against you, or I will fight with those that fight for you. And he goes on to say that your enemies will be full of their own flesh, and they will be drunk with rivers of their own blood. And it says, the world will know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. And so God is going to work through your children. He's going to bless. He's going to save. That is a promise of God for you, that he will save your children, and that there will be legacy that will be passed down between you, from you towards your children. That the Lord will not forget your children. So Father, I thank you for Mr. Aaron. I thank you, Lord God, this morning. I thank you for his faithfulness, Lord God, to you. And Lord, I just pray, Father, the things that he has yearned for, the things that he wants to see happen in his life, may it come to pass in Jesus' mighty name. Just, Father, as when Hannah prayed, Lord God, and they thought she was babbling, and the priest said, Eli the priest says, so be it. And so, Father, we say this morning, so be it, Lord God, the things that he wants to see in his life, the blessing of the Lord in his life, let it be done. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, Father, once again, we give you praise and we give you glory. Amen. All right. So, we're going to just thank you again for your generosity. We thank you for your giving. Jeff, you're going to see... Petersworth, you're going to see the blessing of the Lord in your life. You are going to see the Lord is going to bless you, that there is going to be, you'll see the blessing of the Lord in your life. And that, you know, there's a song that they used to sing, is that, don't pass me by. You know, when the Lord was passing by Bartimaeus, they told him to shut up, and he screamed even more. And what's going to take is that you're going to have to scream even more and recognize that this is your time. Bartimaeus recognized that, hey, the Lord is passing by. I might not have another opportunity again. So recognize that there's a scream. There is a shout that needs to come from you. And most importantly, there's also a taking off of the cloak and the identity that has been given to you by people. Now, sometimes it's an identity that, you know, we put on ourselves, you know, just like I put on this jacket. You're going to have to take off some stuff. This is why at the start I said, identify with the blood of Jesus. Amen. So you're going to be blessed this morning. So please put your hands together for Pastor Murray Newman.
Bless you guys. Thank you so much. How are you guys? Good to be back here. Who was here last year when I was here? Oh, and you came back. That's awesome. You know, so it's so good to be with you. God's got something in store for you. Isn't that good to know? That God's plans for you are for good, not evil. Do you know? And that God is always at work. God is always at work. Isn't that amazing? You know? I'm excited for you as a church. And I thought, there's going to be no prophetic words to give if he keeps going. I'm going to nearly throw a shoe at him. Do you love your pastor? Yeah. Pastor Stephen and Naomi, they are amazing, aren't they? I've adopted them. You know, they're my family now. It's really great. You know, we get to talk a bit. And I'm excited about when God, you know, when God gives good leaders, God doesn't waste resources. Who knows that? And that you're in for something. Hey, girls, how are you? Good? We had youth here on Friday night. It was awesome fun. I think, was it Lizzie? What's her name? The blonde girl who was here. Who got healed of the Izzy. Izzy, is Izzy here? Oh, Izzy, where are you? How's your ankle? It's good. Hey, how are you? Man, that's so good. Hey, it's like she got a bit of a shock. That is so good. Can you stand up? How's it going? Is it? No pain today. No pain at all. It now won't come back. Isn't that great? And we've got the prophetic encounter, the equipping. Because really, my assignment here, Koresh and I were talking on the way up, you know, what about calling, about gifting, about all that God is doing in our life. And I know this, for me, it's not about how many people I prophesy over, it's about how many people I equip to prophesy. That's the real thing. And look, even Stephen's got a bit of a download this morning. I notice he's doing a lot better at prophesying than before. Good, well done, hey. Because who knows that? Who knows that when those, because the prophetic changes, it gives people options they didn't realize they have. Do you understand that? Because who here believes they have the gift of prophecy? I want you to put your hand up. Oh, okay. Well, actually, you all do. See, that's the lie. You all have it. You all have it. Isn't that amazing? So who's got the gift of prophecy? Yeah, okay, I grew it a little bit more then. But I really encourage you to come out to the encounter that we're going to have, because it is about equipping. And you're going to learn how to really know the voice of God and how to operate in that. And it will change all sorts of things around your life. Like the testimonies that Susie and I have gotten by training people to hear God is just crazy. People having words of knowledge at work, praying for people, having words for people. This all really bends your theology, is that, because I work a lot in the corporate world, and I actually did a hearing God workshop at a medical center with 70 doctors on hearing the voice of God. and probably quarter of them were Islamic. That's okay. It's not us and them, it's us. Is that true? So they were within my power while they're in that room. That's funny. And guess who the first person to have a word for someone was? A Muslim, a backslidden. He confessed to me that he was a backslidden Muslim. So he wasn't a good one, you know. But he was the first one to actually feel like he had a word for someone. And it was accurate and it was encouraging and it was full of love. And that changed his trajectory. That changed his life. Once he did that, then he started, you know what? He then revealed to me that he never wanted to be a doctor, that he actually wanted to be a pilot. And guess what he's doing now? He's a pilot. He's a commercial, you know, airline pilot. That's what he does now. Isn't that crazy? So I suppose now, if you know, if there's an emergency on a plane, you know, they ask, is there any doctors on board? Well, now the pilot puts it on auto and he walks back and starts doing the thing. So isn't that amazing? Come on. And that's what I want to sort of, that's what the workshops are all about, you know, is that. So let me really encourage you with that. Because you're not, you know, when you die and you go to heaven, God's going to ask you, did you do Murray's workshop? Because you're not allowed, anyway, No, that's not true. I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Who believes that God is still writing the book of Acts? Okay, some of you don't believe that. But I believe he is. I believe he's still reading and writing the Acts of believers. The church is still going on. Isn't it amazing? Isn't the church an amazing living thing? That it doesn't matter who's in government, it doesn't matter what decisions are made, it doesn't matter what wars are starting or what's going on, the church will always prevail. Isn't that amazing? That even, I know there's all sorts of stuff going on in the Middle East, but I heard from a missionary friend of mine, you know that right now, there are 2,000 plus movements, and a movement is only counted as a movement if there are 2,000 gathering of believers. So there are over 2,000 movements that have 2,000 gatherings of believers in the Islamic world right now. Oh, okay. If you know, I think that is amazing, isn't it? That while we think it's all crazy and but God is at work. Do you know? And I'm hoping that even maybe this morning or over the next couple of days that we're with you, that God will speak to you about what's possible. Because there is a dream in each and every one of you. There has always been in your DNA a purpose. Why you are here. It actually comes from who you are, who God has always made you to be. Your very identity of who you are brings about, let me say this, identity brings about destiny. Why do you think that the enemy came to Jesus and said, if you are identity, if you are the Son of God, do something about it. Prove that. See, he knew that it's always identity. Temptation is always to challenge your identity. Someone needs to hear this. Because what we think is what we get tempted with is our identity. If that was true, that would make actually Jesus the most evil person in all the world. Because the Bible says that he was tempted in all things. So what you get tempted in is not your identity. It actually comes from who you are. And when you really discover who you are, your destiny will just unfold. Koresh, you see that? It just will unfold. Once you really know who you are, it will unfold. I was saying to the youth on Friday night, you know, one of the best questions you can ask God is, who do you say I am? God, who do you say I am? You look at the amount of times that Jesus would actually change or God would change the name of a person. Oh, you've been known as this, but now I call you that. The amount of identity changes or revealing of who a person really was is profound. True? Okay, did I say Acts chapter 3? Let's read that. And it's a very famous, I don't know if you call them a story, history account. That's the best way of saying it, because it's not fiction in it. It's not like we go once upon a time, but you could go once upon a time. Peter and John went into the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in, and each day he was put beside the gate, the temple gate that was called Beautiful, and so he could beg from the people going into the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. And Peter and John looked at him intently. And that's a very interesting, just, you know, highlight that in your Bible, intently. It's like, do you ever notice, but you've ever been walking along and sort of like into shops or the, and someone gets your attention? I'm just saying. That's why you need to come to my workshop. I can show you why that's happening. Peter and John looked at him intently and said, "Look at us." And the lame man looked up at them, eagerly expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver and gold for you, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and lifted him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly strengthened. And he jumped up and he stood on his feet and began to walk, and then walking and leaping, praising God. He went into the temple with them, and all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized it was the lame man they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. Amen. I want you to put your hand over your heart and say this prayer with me. Ready? Dear Father God, speak to my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me, this is actually the more important part. I think we've had enough prophetic ministry. You did that for me. That was awesome. I was like, I'm going to sit back and I'll take the offering. Is that, money's not funny here, okay. I want you to really understand that this word, if you can really get this word that I'm about to say, this is the word for you as a church. And as you align yourselves, and it's very important that we align ourselves with the community that God has put us in, under the leadership that God has, because if you align yourself with that, you get the flow of what God is doing in that house. Do you know that God wants to put on you what's on Stephen and what's on Unami? God wants to actually do that, you know, to equip you so that you can actually go out and do whatever it is that God has equipped you. And there's alignment in that. There's authority in that. It's not free range stuff, you know, because even like I'm going to teach you how to prophesy over people, how to have words of knowledge out of people, how to interpret dreams for people, you know. I don't know if I'll get to it. I'll teach you how to interpret tattoos. And that's a crazy thing. Like I was in a gym, I'm on the board of a big gym in our city, and I've been at the counter with people in a line for me to interpret their tattoos for them. And then there's another pile of people all in tears over there after I've interpreted them. And telling people who they really are. And you can do that. Do you understand that? And do you understand that the world needs us? The whole world is groaning for the revealing of the sons of God. For us to see more miracles happen outside these walls than in them. More salvations happening. I pray that C3 in... where are we now? Quinana. Is that like a tongues word? Quinana. What's the interpretation? Anybody? In Quinana, I hope that it's impossible to sort of get a sermon together because of the amount of testimonies that want to be shared, that they jam up your social media with all the stuff that's going on, that you're going to have to buy a bigger car, you're going to have to get a bigger house to cope with all the new Christians that you're going to have to look after. Have you ever thought about that? Or do you understand what God really wants to do for you that's going to completely and absolutely disrupt your life? That you should be praying the prayer. I pray you pray the prayer. Lord, Father, before I even ask what you want to do with my life, I pray that you would fill me with boldness and bravery to even do it. That's actually the prayer, because you know what? And I would say this, God will never reveal to you the finished work that God's going to do in you. I could never, and I would not, even if I saw it on you, I wouldn't prophesy it over you. Because it's so spectacular, you'd probably worship it. That's why God wants you to still walk in mystery, going forward, and just doing and being, because success, you know what's the real success in the kingdom is? Obedience. What is it? Obedience is just hearing and obeying. Hearing in obey. Faith comes by hearing. Exactly. And so when it's like, it's when you're hearing and you're going forward, like, and you know who you are, you come up to, you come into these circumstances, and it's not like, oh God, should I pray for this person? You know. You actually know that if you pray, God moves. And that's how every should be. It shouldn't be just the super Christians. It shouldn't be just the elite. It's not the fivefold that's meant to do all the ministry. It's everyone supposed to do all the ministry. Is that true? You know, we're supposed, anyway, I'm getting onto a hobby horse and I need to get back. But I want you to start to align. If I say that, I want you to start to align with what's going on in this church. Really listen to what your pastor's saying. Like even when he says reverence and you go, okay, I'm going to be reverent. You'd be amazed at what starts to happen in that. Because obedience actually brings freedom. Submission actually brings freedom into your life. See, we think it brings bondage. It does not. Not in the kingdom. It only makes you freer. Is that true? If you obey the old rules, guess what? You can go anywhere. You can go anywhere. Is that true? If you submit and you can do whatever you do. I don't know what the pastor did to get here before us, but... But do you know, is that true? You try and just do your own thing on the road and see how far you get. Is that true? Yeah, you might get a little way, but not very far and not for very long. And they'll probably take away whatever ability you did have to go wherever you wanted. See, a lot of us get stuck like this lame guy. And in this story, we're sometimes the lame guy and sometimes we're Peter and John. So first of all, I want to look at, you know, this lame guy is stuck, true? He'd kind of been where he'd been for all this time, and who, like, since birth, like, so he'd never known what it was like to stand on his own two feet. He'd never known independence. He'd never known that. It was always, he built a system of dependence, do you know, and a system. So people would carry him there, and as you probably could guess if you read the story, that maybe even Jesus had walked past him many, many, many times. Maybe great crowds that were with Jesus going into the temple and out had passed by this same individual, crippled since birth, had heard all the stories. And isn't it amazing, in church we hear all, and the testimonies are great, but it's like, when am I going to get my breakthrough? When am I going to get my miracle? When am I going to get my provision? And that's what I really want to say to you this morning, that you've got to be in alignment. But this season for you guys is God did it. You're going into a season where God's just going to do it. God sovereignly, even though you might have had the issue, maybe you've been stuck for maybe your whole life has wrestled with something. Maybe there's been something in your life that has happened and now you're stuck and not able to make progress. And maybe you've had to build up a system around you, a support. But then God's going to do something. Then God's going to show up. Okay? And it's pretty amazing what happens when you just let God show up and let God do it. That God's going to do it. You know? And it's in just, I've just always been amazed. Like I can remember just coming to my mind a testimony that, yeah, I was just getting the okay to say it, is that, and it's just one, it's like, I remember one guy, because I ride a motorbike every day, like that's what I do. Like I did 5 years of prison ministry, not as a guest, as a minister. that was another part of my family. But also that was because the senior pastor had been in an outlaw bikie gang, okay? And so for that, I was only allowed to sort of ride one brand of motorcycle to be part of this church. And so I had the one that I had at the moment. I was meeting a pastor at a cafe and he walked past it and he's like, you know, it's really weird, Muzz, but I just feel like God's going to give you another bike. Went, oh, really? Okay, that's really interesting, whatever. Anyway, a couple of days later, I met a young guy that I was training in the prophetic. He's like, you know what, Muzz, I walked past your bike and I could see it as a bigger one. Like this, it was really weird. I went, oh, okay, that's strange. And then someone contacted me about maybe within a two-week period and came to me and says, you know what, Marcus, really, you know, I watch what you do and all the things, and you've so helped my family, and it's just been so amazing, and I don't, but would you be willing to trade in your bike and I buy you another one, an upgraded one? And it was, I could probably show you the photos, but it was, so I went from a sports star to a road king, if anybody knows, like the big, what the cops ride in the US, in the exact same color as the little one, which they don't come in. It was the bigger one. God did it. Say, God did it. God did it. I don't know, it just, God did it. Do you understand that there are some miracles that happen to us, and you're about to go into a season where it's just God did it, where God provided it. That maybe you've had prophetic words and promises on the inside of you. I'm sure that guy sat there every day going, if only I could stand on my own, watching people walk past. I can't imagine how traumatic that would have been every day to watch people walk past when you can't get up. And feeling stuck, feeling broken. And then, but God's going to do it. See, but once this encounter changed everything. And before we even move on, I just want to pray for if you're stuck. Would that be cool? Maybe you've had promises for years. Maybe you've been believing God for things. And it's just never, it just, maybe you're just going through the motions now like he was. You see someone come up, you just put up your cup, hoping for something to bring it. In, you know, I'm just going through the motions. I'm going through the church motions. But I want to pray that that gets broken off you and that you can stand on your own two feet. On your own two feet. On your own faith. And go forward. Would that be cool? I don't want anyone to stand. I just want to pray it. Is that cool? So, Father, I just pray, Father, over this congregation. Everybody that's part of this community that has been stuck, that has been crippled by their past, by their trauma. Maybe it's a physical thing. Maybe it's a mental thing. Maybe it's a social thing, maybe it's a family thing, maybe it's a career thing, maybe it's a ministry thing, that where they're just stuck on outside the gate beautiful. It's beautiful that there's promises, but they're not entering into that, not walking in there. Father, I pray that, Lord, just like this guy, they stand up and they leap and jump and praise God the other side of that gate in Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now you'd open up that gate. You open up that gate and you let them in. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, look out. I can feel God. Always feel, okay, that's a big tick. See, the next thing is that encounter where, okay, now I've got to be, now I want you to, okay, now you're not a cripple anymore. Because imagine, like, do you think this, imagine what, how excited this guy got. Imagine his whole network of cripples, all the beggars, all the people that he knows, all the family, that those guys that used to carry him and drop him there, it's all different now. Now this guy, see, because you can only give what you've got. See, if I tell you if I've got the measles and I tell you I've got chicken pox, what am I going to give you? See, I could preach chicken pox all day, but you're going to get the measles. Is that true? You can really only give people what you've got. If you look at David's life, David had this bravery, this faith in God. And that was a great word you got about, hey, intimacy with God. That was powerful. I want that word. I want to write a song. that he, through his intimacy, caught on to how big his God was, because he saw through those secret battles of lions and bears. But then if you read further on how he took on all these crippled people, all these people that were discontent and in debt and disenfranchised and no one knew what to do with them, but he gave them who he was. And so all of a sudden there became this bravery on them, this faith in God that never left those guys, never left them. They would jump into pits and fight lions. They would fight giants. They would do all this thing. Why? Because David didn't tell them stories. He gave them what he was. Again, that's Do you understand that? Peter, isn't it interesting? It didn't say, oh, Simon came. It was Peter came. You notice that? The new identity, the who he really was came. Not wishy-washy, not Peter, oh, should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? He just stepped straight into the opportunity. Because Jesus had let him see what was possible if he knew it. It was like, Lord, can I step? You remember Peter walking on the water? He was nuts. He would literally, there was this boldness in Peter that Peter didn't really even understand himself. But I think as he went further and he went further and he went further, he thought, you know what? I'm actually starting to think that actually God might be with me. I might actually think, I might be starting to believe that actually if I pray, things happen. And of course, we all know Peter went on to raise the dead, that he went on that even if people stood in the shadow, they would get healed. Now that hasn't stopped, okay? Who knows whose shadow is in this room today? Is actually if that person who was making the shadow actually understood what their shadow could do. Come on. We're living way below what is possible. Is that true? I'm not angry with you. I'm trying to get you to go, well, let's just try some things. You know what I've found? That people get healed when I pray. And more people get healed as the more people that I pray for. Is that a coincidence? And I've noticed is that if I don't pray for anyone, no one gets healed. And if I don't witness to any people, it's weird. No one gets saved. I had a lady say to me the other day, he goes, Muzz, it was in a work scenario, like, oh, I looked you up. You're a preacher. Like, she was shocked in this corporate setting that I was in. Like, you're a preacher. It's like, what? What are you doing here? I said, and she goes, so you're a Christian? I said, I don't know. I don't know. You tell me what one is first, and I'll let you know if I'm that. And I wasn't any of the things. If you're talking about a religious person, you're talking about an unforgiving person, if you're talking a person about a joyless person, nah, that's not me. But if you're talking about, you know, will you let me pray for you? And I warn you. I warn you. You're going to get healed. Isn't that funny? I can remember praying. I remember he's gone on to be a producer now. Remember Rove McManus? Remember he used to have that Night Shine show? I once got to pray for him, and I prayed for Belinda, his first wife, who she had a real encounter. She was fully born again, speaking in tongues, you know? And God had done all. It's very interesting watching how she actually really recovered. We prayed for her and her brother and I. And she recovered amazingly. And then they totally backslid. They went, oh, okay, I'm whole now. Off I go with my old life. And then she got sick again and the Lord took her. It was like, nah, nah. But I can remember talking to, oh, his real name is John. But to Rove. And he showed me, and he through the stress of her sickness and his world, he was covered in boils. His torso, big, like when I was like, holy smoke, like what is that? And he was lucky that it didn't, like his face, so everything that he would appear on media, he looked quite well, but he was not well. And I said, well, mate, I'll pray for you, but do you understand you're going to get healed, and then you're going to be faced with the reality of God, that God loves you and has a plan for you, and you're probably not going to be able to do this life anymore. In other words, are you brave enough to get healed? Are you brave enough to let God? You know what he did? In his fancy, their fancy apartment in Paddington and Sydney, he got down on his knees, bowed his head, and I prayed for him. And then we left, and he texted me the next morning, a photo of them completely gone off his body. And him then in torment ever since. In torment. I pray for him all the time. I go, oh, I wonder how that's going. How is backsliding working for you, mate? Because I imagine every time he has a shower, it's like, oh my gosh. My skin is gray, hey. And you can do this. Do you understand? Like now, that's what I want you to be, like Peter and John. And to run into these situations boldly and understanding that God is with you. It says, because he actually said, look at us, because what I have, I'm going to give you. They say that most Christians don't witness because they actually don't want people to experience the Christianity that they have. I would suggest if you're one of those, that you change your religion. They actually get saved. You actually start to listen to God and be obedient and find out who he tells you are, and then you will have a Christianity that is enviable. You'll have a Christianity. I know this. You know how you make people hungry for God? You know how you make people hungry for God? You want to know how you make people hungry for God? Eat in front of them. Is that true? In other words, when you see a life that you want, that's what you want, and that's literally showing you this is what you could be. Look at us. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do give, I give to you. See, it wasn't... I wrote in my notes here, you're only really handy to God when you have nothing. Jesus with the Beatitudes, it's a very interesting side note. When he talks, blessed are those, he says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. When you have nothing. You have no confidence in yourself, but it's all God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not looking at it because Peter didn't offer money, he offered a miracle. Because the real breakthrough doesn't come from man's resources. Breakthrough comes from the presence of God. Doesn't it? And you carry that. In the name of Jesus, he said. And his words, he didn't just speak words, he released power. He released power. I know in prophesying over people, you saw the apostle do it when he was speaking, releasing power over the team. Is that true? He was opening up a pathway. He was opening up what was possible, opening up, this is what can happen for you. And it wasn't just words. It wasn't just words, because words create. Is that true? Words create. Your words create. It's one thing to have dumb thoughts, but it's another thing when you have dumb words. Is that true? And then Peter didn't just speak it, he acted on it. He reached out, he took him by the hand, he lifted him to his feet. But it's like in the process of lifting him to his feet, this guy got healed. He became completely whole, When God touches you, it won't be just halfway. That's kind of a recovery. But a miracle is a full body, a full life, a full heart transforming thing. And then it's interesting. See, the same legs that were lame were now leaping. Oh, man. That's what I pray, the same thing in your life that was lame, I pray that as you leave this room, that you leap. That you leap. And everybody around you sees that. The same mouth that begged is now praising God. Come on. When God restores you, he doesn't just fix you, he rewrites you. Like that guy's now different. Like imagine it. Like this guy, you couldn't tell him that God isn't real. You couldn't tell him that God doesn't do miracles. You couldn't tell him that God doesn't use people. You couldn't tell him that because his whole story has changed. Is that true? The whole narrative, the whole trajectory of his life is now completely and forever different. And everybody that knows him, it's now different. Is that true? People saw him and they knew. It wasn't fake. It wasn't hype. It wasn't just positive thinking. It wasn't medical therapy. It was God. It was God. God did it. God did it. God did it. If I was to say, if I had a word for you, this is the word. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Put your hand over your heart and just, you know, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. He's going to do it, and then he's going to do another it, and then he's going to do another it. You know that our God does not have a budget. Our God, hell has a budget. It has limits. But our God does not. Our God does not. Amen. This great young couple here with the spectacles. You want to stand to your feet, please? It's like, man, you're amazing. Well, hopefully you do know each other. Because he's making a move on you now, baby, I tell you. Oh, okay, you put a ring on it. You've got a ring. Oh, yeah, cool. That's very good. It's all legal. It's very good. It's very, very, very good. It's like, I feel like it's like you're this encourager and that you just bring life. It's this, Adam was a living soul, but Jesus was a life-giving spirit. And that's what you have, my friend. You have a life-giving spirit. And you've got to understand that wherever you go, there's life. And as you choose life for people and you choose life's words of life for people, it's going to have a dramatic effect, like a dramatic effect. I see you dropping seeds of words into people that are going to, you know, you might not have seen it happen straight away, but I tell you what, those seeds, they take root, they grow, and it's quite amazing what that is. And it's a bit, I want to tell you this story. I know a pastor that when each of his kids got married, he had four sons, and when each one got married, he planted a fruit tree to represent. I know what I'm telling, this might make sense. How many kids have you got?
11.
You have 11 kids. Well, hopefully it's between you. And some. Catholic, hey? Oh my gosh, well that's one way. They're going to keep these people going. So this is a breeding couple. Come on. Let's keep going. Is that for every daughter-in-law they got, he planted a fruit tree. It's quite amazing because now he sits, he invites when that family comes, they go and sit under that particular fruit tree, and the grandchildren eat fruit from that tree. What a profound thing. I'm gonna do that. And it's like you've done this. There's these words that you've given that are now generational blessing over people. Like you need to really get that. To understand, like there are people, because of the things that you've done, people are giving blessing. They just think this tree has always been here. But someone planted it. Amen? Amen. So keep doing that in Jesus' name. And you, darling, I can see God. I don't know if you've had like nasal problems or something like in the front of your head or anything like that. Sinus, yeah. That's, yeah, the front of your head. Yeah. God's going to, Father, well, he doesn't see, that's the thing. If God highlights that to you, the kid, he's going to heal it. So, Father, I just pray that whatever there's in the whole precious system of her skull and her head and her ears and her nose, it just to lift in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Who wants to lead Jesus to, who wants to lead people to Jesus? Anybody here? Just stand to your feet. If the rest of you want to see people go to hell, it's okay. Yeah. I kind of said that because I know in that there's probably some of you here that have never led anybody to the Lord yet. So I'm giving you cover, okay? I didn't want to make you feel bad, you know? Because you're not. You haven't done it yet, but you're gonna. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that they get opportunity. And, Father, I pray, just like Peter and Paul, it would come through a miracle. It would come through the opportunity to pray for a need. It would come through releasing a miracle over someone. Where they would just, God would do it. God did that miracle. And now this person is now disrupted by God and open to the gospel in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for the miracle power evangelism to break out through these guys. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. See, we've got to understand, it wasn't the gate, it wasn't the ones who carried him, it wasn't Peter's hands, it wasn't silver or gold. Have a seat for a moment. It wasn't silver or gold that did it. It was God. It was God that did it. Oh, I'm still got keeping words of knowledge. Who's got a heart complaint? Kind of, I'm getting like the downloads of all the words of knowledge on body's parts for the moment. Who's got a heart complaint, a heart murmur, or you've needed to see a surgeon? You have, Mum. Okay, we're going to pray for that. And your eyes, we need to pray for your eyes too. Anybody else? You got... No? What was that? Someone said something. Oh, your eyes. Oh, okay, we'll pray for the eyes. We'll get the eyes, okay? How can you tell the grandmas no? They got a superpower, hey. I once was ministering in a deliverance ministry with all these demons, like people. There were a bunch of Islander boys, all like manifesting demons, rolling around on the floor. And I was casting out demons with a grandmother. It was hilarious. So I'm casting, and I got my two out before her, just saying. But when I come to her, I'm like, this is normally she's really powerful. And this is what she was doing. She had her knee on this kid's chest, and he's foaming at the mouth and doing all this crazy. And then she was like, she saw that we needed to move on. And she saw me coming, she went, right. You know when you just go, right. She goes, listen to me. I'm a grandmother. And you're out. Boom. So we're going to pray for the grannies. Amen. Amen. There's power in them, hey. Amen. So Father, we just pray for these eyes in the name of Jesus. The eyesight to come back in Jesus' name. Whatever's been wrong, whatever's deteriorated, whatever injury there's been, Father, I pray right now, eyesight. But I really pray for that. Maybe it's the heart thing is maybe you don't even know that yet. So, Father, I pray for heart, even men that are here. Father, I pray for their heart, young girls. Father, I pray that, Lord, that their hearts be strong in Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. A really good-looking guy in the green hoodie. Yeah, it's a hoodie. Yeah, you part of this church, are you, mate? Oh, wow. Where are you from? The accent. Oh, now I can hear you talking a bit more. You're from here. You're a Western Australian. Yeah, yeah. Listen, mate, there's a light in you. There's a light in you. Yeah, it is. And he's going to put you on a hill. It says that he doesn't light you. He doesn't light you to hide you. He lights you to put you up on display. And you wait and see what God will bring people to you to minister to them and to bring life to them, yeah? What's your name?
Graham.
Graham. Oh, you're definitely Australian then, hey? I have an Uncle Graham, you know. There's a Graham. There we all go. What do you do, Graham? For work.
I work for God.
You work for God. But something's going to happen in that area for your life, okay? Father, I pray that you make opportunity for Graham in this area in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, they all running out here. What's going on? Oh, you're going to play. Okay, I was like, what's going on? I noticed no deacon jumped up if he was going to punch me or anything like that. No one jumped up, so. Okay. Did I tell you you've got to align yourselves, hey?
Yes.
I did?
Yes.
Are you going to do it?
Yes.
Yes. Did I tell you God's going to do it? Yes. It's going to be a season of God doing it. Yes. Then I've given you enough words, and let's stand and pray. Father, I pray that, Lord, today, that, Lord, that we would see the lame walk, the blind see. I pray that, Lord, that people would hear your voice clearer than ever before. Father, I pray for opportunities, Lord, the people that we just walk past, God, that we would seize those opportunities to pray for people, to love on people, to bless people. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Pastor.
Thank you. Please let's give Pastor Murray a hand. A All right, I won't take too much of your time. You just sit down for just 5 minutes. So what we want to do is just two things. First, I just want to give people an opportunity, if you haven't yet, to just connect with God, reestablish that relationship with Jesus. So we're going to start with that, and then we're going to go into a time of offering. You know, you can never measure the gift that somebody gives, and what Pastor Murray has done here, only time will tell the impact of that. But we're very grateful for you, Pastor Maz, who you are and what you bring. So we're just going to get an opportunity if the welcome team wants to prepare that. But we'll start off. I'll just pray. So let's just close our eyes. We do this every week just to give people an opportunity. So please pray with me, or pray after me, I should say. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to the cross. I know that I am a sinner. Please forgive me for my sins. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With every eye closed, if you've prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you were committing, please raise your hand so I can see you, because we want to give you something. Thank you. We just want to give you something to take you on that journey. All right, thank you. All right, second thing. Could we have the welcome team, please? This is an opportunity to just show Pastor Maz the love, and Susie, his wife, who's not here, you know. Whatever, you know, you can give, we appreciate it. I think we've got cards as well. You can fill in the cards. We just want to give him a love offering. Just as, oh yes, and Andrew at the back there has got the FPOS machine as well. So that's another way of doing it. Just let him know what it's for, and the church will sort that out. So we're just going to take a few minutes to sort that out. We're not rushing through it. We're just very, very grateful for the gift. Thank you very much for your giving. So if you would like prayer, Pastor Maz is still here. So please come to the front and come for prayer. Don't miss the opportunity. If you really need prayer, please come up. So let's just stand up and finish off with a word of prayer. But please come up to the front for Pastor Maz to pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for the word that was shared this morning, Lord, that indeed you have got it, and that we should align ourselves. Thank you, God, that you are good and you are merciful. And Lord, every word that has been spoken, Father, I pray that it's fallen on good soil, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that the enemy will not come and steal the word that's been deposited. We just thank you, Father, for Pastor Maz and the gift that he is to the body of Christ. We thank you for his family, Lord. We thank you, Father, for his sacrifice and the time and effort he's put into coming and just being here. We even pray right now, Lord, for the sessions that are coming up this evening and tomorrow evening, Lord. And just for the rest of his time here, Lord, we pray for a blessing over that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Okay.
Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Thank you. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name of
Like to go and have coffee and catch up with anyone, please feel free to enter into the foyer cafe space. We're going to continue praising and worshiping, so if you'd like to stay and just carry on with us, we invite you to do that also. The service is now technically